Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's a right-handed world for the most part, but being a southpaw musician might give you an edge. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, left-handedness in music. And later, the L.A.-based band The Airborne Toxic Event takes its name from the pages of a Don DeLillo novel. We'll find out if fiction inspired the music on their latest album when the band plays live in our studio. But first, for musicians, the hand you favor, your handedness, is serious business. It can determine what instrument you're encouraged to learn and how you end up playing it. This famed pianist, Glenn Gould, was a lefty, but he still played brilliantly, even though his instrument was meant for righties. We'll talk to a psychologist who has studied handedness in musicians in a moment, but first, classical music critic Pierre Roux of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution joins us to talk about the surprising advantage that lefties may have. Pierre, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, thank you.
So we're starting here with some Glenn Gould. We could just as easily have started with Vladimir Horowitz, Artur Rubinstein, Daniel Barenboim, Richard Good, Alain Grimeau, a who's who of top pianists. Why so many lefties?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we don't know. I think it's interesting there's been no compelling reason to include handedness in the narrative of pianists' lives, basically, and their playing and what makes someone unique. And perhaps that's because brain function and creativity and language and communication, it's all poorly understood. And we're just now understanding how that works. And so maybe I think a lot of times people didn't even know to ask someone whether they were left-handed and how that affected their playing.
Although, you know, throughout music criticism, you know, critics have written about so-and-so's left-hand technique, you know, which will often separate a good pianist from a great pianist.
Yeah, I was just reading recently, just looking up to write this article about I'm thinking 1981, a review by Harold Schoenberg, who is as serious and as analytical a pianophile as you could find. And in this review, he rhapsodized over Italian pianist Maurizio Pollini's left hand. But maybe no one ever thought to ask Pollini if he was actually left-handed. I mean, it hasn't been part of the narrative. So there are no reliable statistics about who is left-handed. It's interesting.
Well, and it's also interesting that, you know, if you're talking about an instrument like the guitar, you know, Jimi Hendrix certainly stood out because he was a left-handed guitarist. Paul McCartney, a left-handed bass player. You know, all you have to do is look at the guy in the band whose instrument is facing the wrong way, and you know, you see the handedness, if you will.
Yeah, that's right.
With a piano, it's sort of like what you were saying. It would never occur to me to think of a pianist as being lefty or righty, because you need both.
Right, right. Well, and it's an interesting thing because most pianists will tell you that the body's natural inclination against, the hand's inclination to work apart is a big deal, and they fight it all the time, and that a piano student must overcome the resistance to work separately, and that, in fact, what might explain the prominence and the dominance, if that's the case, of left-handed pianists is that from the very beginning, from when they were learning the instrument as children, because it's a right-handed instrument, in effect, they have to work harder to make the left hand work, to make their left hand, their dominant hand, is more comfortable in the chordally and richly harmonic bass part of the keyboard, and their right hand, which is often carrying the melody, the free-form melody, that's the right hand. That for them, that's not their dominant hand, and so they're perhaps having to work harder just to achieve a level of competence. And by working harder, they've got an advantage.
Possibly,
it's not well studied.
But what is it that makes a piano a right-handed instrument?
Well, I think the idea is that it's the same idea of why a violin is a right-handed instrument or a guitar, which is that in a violin or a guitar, the fingering, which is in the left hand, after you practice, that becomes almost automatic. And you can, this is overstating it greatly, but you can almost shut that part off because your fingers are going to know what to do through muscle memory. And your right hand and which is your bow arm if you're playing the violin, or strumming it or picking if you're playing the guitar, that's where a lot of the inflection is. That's where a lot of the processing is in your brain. That's kind of what you're having to think about, in other words. Whereas in your left hand, that's hopefully automatic. And if you're playing a fast run on the violin, super fast, you're playing Paganini caprices, those better be automatic.
And with the piano?
With the piano, the part of the melody, the part that you're needing to make inflections on, is often in the right hand. If you think of a Chopin, you know, a gorgeous and long melody, a bel canto melody, is going to be in your right hand, and the bass and the thickening up and the filling in the harmonies is in your left hand. And so, in a way, the melody, phrasing a melody like a singer would phrase a melody, that's in your right hand if you're a pianist.
And so a pianist like Leif Ove Andsnes, who is left-handed, has mm-hmm. yet another layer of challenge when he takes on a piece by, for example, Chopin, as he does in this recording of the Chopin Piano Sonata No. 2 in B-flat minor. That is pianist Leif Ove Andsnes, Norwegian pianist, left-handed pianist, as it turns out, playing some very right-handed music by Frédéric Chopin from the Piano Sonata No. 2 in B-flat minor. We're speaking with Pierre Roux, classical music critic of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and we also want to hear from you. Are you a left-handed musician? Do you think that puts you at an advantage or a disadvantage? And how has being a lefty shaped how you play and even how much you pay for your instrument? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC or leave a comment at WNYC.org. That's 212-433-9692. Pierre, before we get to Stephen Christman, a psychologist who's done a lot of work with handedness at the University of Toledo, let me ask you, how much of this is kind of theory? How much of this is just kind of emerging common wisdom in the music world?
I think there's a history of thinking it was true, although, of course, it's almost all anecdotal. And almost all the pianists I know who are left-handed, it's because I asked them. And and maybe had a conversation with them about it and what it brings to what they believe their handedness brings to their playing. I don't know of any reliable statistics or any reliable sources that can go back into history and tell you, is Rachmaninoff, was Brahms, was Beethoven left-handed? A lot of left-handed pianists think those guys were, because of the way they wrote music.
Because they wrote so well for that hand. All right, let's...
Or just even a little, something subtle, something that you, as you're playing it now, hours and hours, hundreds of hours into practicing, you say, oh, you know, he was probably left-handed to do that.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's bring in Stephen Christman. He is a psychologist at the University of Toledo and has researched the role of handedness, especially with musicians. Stephen, how different is your understanding of handedness from the sort of conventional wisdom, you know, that people are either lefty, righty, or ambidextrous?
Yeah, well, it was in fact my initial foray into studying handedness in musicians that cued me in to really what's been the main topic of my own scholarly work for the last 10 years, which is, when we think about handedness, being left or right is only half the story at most. That what is as or perhaps more important is whether you're strongly one-handed, left or right, or whether you show some innate mixed hand preference. I first looked at this in the early 90s. There had been some evidence that right-handers show less interaction between the two hemispheres of the brain owing to a smaller corpus callosum, the main bundle of fibers that connects the two halves of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And as a musician myself, in particular, as an experience with a drummer friend of mine who also was a fairly good self-taught piano player, who one day while warming up started playing like a 3-2 a waltz beat with the left side of his body and a standard kind of 2-4 march beat with the right, so that the downbeats were coming in and out of phase. And it boggled my mind. I could never play two different rhythms at once. And I thought, you know, boy, I'm mixed-handed. My drummer piano player friend, was strongly right-handed. And I thought, if the two hemispheres, which, of course, control the left hemisphere controls the right hand and vice versa, in right-handers, if they work more independently, the two hemispheres, that should allow the hands to work more independently and play the left and right parts of a piano, or in percussion, the left and right sides of the body.
Would you be in an advantage more if you were not purely right-handed or purely left-handed, but one of those people who does some things one way and some another?
Our work suggests that really there are, in terms of handedness, the way we think of it, there's two types of people. About half of humanity does everything all the time with just one hand, and of those, the vast majority are right-handed. And then you have the other half who will use their non-dominant or non-writing hand, even if it's just for one or two activities. And so what we did in our study was we looked at the relative hand rolls as a function of the type of instrument. So in the piano, the left and right hands have independent musical rolls. In strings and woodwinds, on the other hand, the two hands are working together to produce a unified musical output. And we went in thinking right-handers might be a little more likely to play piano. But what we found when we did the statistics is when we classified people as right or left, there was no difference. But then I looked at the data, and in our sample of about 170-some professors of musical performance at schools like Indiana and Michigan, the Cincinnati Conservatory, we only had three perfectly left-handed people in our sample, because pure left-handedness is quite rare. It's about 1 or 2% of the population, but all three played the piano.
So
when we looked at the people who were purely right-handed, who said, I do everything all the time with the right hand, about two-thirds of them were piano players. As soon as we looked at the people who were said, I use my non-dominant hand for at least a few things, you know, opening jars or combing my hair, then we found that those people were more likely to play the strings and woodwinds.
So why do we have such a this litany of big-name pianists who are all left-handed, way out of proportion to the 1 or 2% that you find in the general population?
You know, when I read Pierre's article, it was quite interesting. I wish I could have read it 15 years ago when I published my research, because I think I might have expanded my conclusions. My work is suggesting that if you are mixed-handed, you're going to have trouble getting your two hands to do independent things, and that will work against you on the piano.
Really?
However, practice can overcome a lot of these things. And I, in fact, in my original paper, I speculated that the handedness differences I found were probably due to early attrition. That it might be that when you sit down as a kid to learn to play the piano, if you're non-right-handed, if you're mixed-handed, you might experience enough frustration at learning to play two independent lines, you give up. But if you persevere, I think you would come through with an advantage. Another factor that might be an advantage for a left-handed piano player is most left-handers have fairly good motor control with both hands. It's the strongly right-handed part of our population who really have the weak, clumsy left hands, and that weakness
All right, so,
is...
Well, that sort of could perhaps lead to this perception that we've been talking about, that lefties might have an advantage in the world of music. We're speaking at the moment with Stephen Chrisman, psychologist at the University of Toledo, and also with Pierre Roux, classical music critic of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
If you're a violinist sharing a stand with a lefty, you may find the end of your partner's bow poking you in the eye or knocking into your own bow. Hey, maybe a 50-50 mix of lefties and righties in a string orchestra could make going to the symphony a lot more entertaining.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Now, at the risk of having a symphony orchestra concert turn into a Three Stooges routine, it is striking that even if 1 or 2% of the population are left-handed, that we don't see 1 to 2% of symphony string players. I mean, Dennis in New York writes this comment: "Why have I never seen a string instrument, violin, viola, cello, bass, bowed with the left hand?"
I have an answer for that,
Pierre.
Violins are also completely right-handed instruments, in part the way they're constructed within a violin. There's what's called if you opened a violin, you couldn't just restring it. And what's inside a violin, there's what's called a bass bar. It's a thick piece of wood on the bass side of the instrument, where the thicker strings are, and that helps the project the sound. It helps the resonance and helps project the sound. And so you can have a left-handed violin, which you have to build as a mirror image from the inside. You know, you completely build it from the left, from the mirror image. And there actually are a few, and there's actually in an orchestra in America, although I couldn't track down where, but several people have claimed to see, have seen this person who sits at the very last stand and is a left-handed violinist and plays, but can't sit next to a stand partner, has to sit in the back because the bow would poke the other person in the face.
Right. So we literally are talking about one person, one sighting of a single left-handed violinist. All right, let's see what some of our Soundcheck listeners have to say. We have a lot of callers on the line, and we'll begin with Dave and Bethpage. Dave, are you a lefty yourself?
I'm a lefty myself.
And do you play?
I do. I'm also a mirror twin, and so my twin brother, identical, is right-handed.
Wow.
And, I'm faster on the guitar. I play right-handed guitar.
So you're a lefty who learned to play guitar right-handed.
But it's natural because my fine motor coordination is better on the fingerboard than if I were to play a Jimi Hendrix style.
Okay, so you feel that, you know, this kind of lefty-righty thing has given you an advantage playing that instrument?
I think that by calling a string instrument a right-handed instrument when it's actually the left hand that's using the fine motor coordination is completely wrong. I think all these instruments are actually left-handed.
That, you know, I've often wondered the same thing, and Stephen, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, the first time I ever tried to play the guitar, it turned out I was left-handed. I eventually learned to play righty because it was so hard to do it as a left-handed player. But Dave's point is well taken. It's the left hand that's doing all of the really intricate fingerings and stuff. So why do we sort of throw our hands up and go, wow, Hendrix playing left-handed? Wouldn't that sort of be natural?
I'm wonderful. I'm very glad that you brought up the Hendrix example. I actually just wrote a paper on Hendrix's handedness. And it turns out that Jimi Hendrix rotated and held the phone with his right hand.
So he was one of those mixed-handed people.
He was
talking.
One of the mixed-handers, and in the paper, I argue that might be part of the reason. My story is that Hendrix, I think, realized when he picked up his first guitar at age 10 that he didn't want to use his less skilled left hand to do all the fretting. Because in modern guitar work, you know, when you're just holding a piece of plastic, the pick, and waving it up and down, the demands on the right hand are much less than in the classical tradition with the finger picking and ostinatos, arpeggios, rest stops. And I think he intuitively, as a kid, realized that he wanted to use his better right hand on the fretboard, just like the last caller there, as a left-hander, realized that, geez, even though I'm left-handed, a right-handed guitar makes more sense. I also am a left-handed person who plays the right-handed guitar.
And here is a little bit of the great Jimi Hendrix, the Southpaw guitarist, from a song called Machine Gun. Left-handed guitarist, although as Stephen Christman is telling us, kind of a mixed-handed guy. Stephen is a psychologist at the University of Toledo who has researched the role of handedness, especially in music. We're also speaking with Pierre Roux, classical music critic for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and we have a lot of calls to get to, and we will get to them in just a moment. Coming up a little bit later on our show today, a Don DeLillo novel inspired the name of this rock band, The Airborne Toxic Event. We'll hear a live performance of songs from their new album coming up later on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Six of the past 12 American presidents have been left-handed, and next week we'll inaugurate yet another Southpaw as commander-in-chief. And politics aside, there's perhaps something presidential about favoring the left. We're talking today about left-handed musicians and a possible advantage that they might have. Speaking with classical music critic Pierre Roux of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and University of Toledo psychologist Stephen Christman. And with some of our Soundcheck listeners on the line, let's bring in Alex, who joins us from the Upper East Side. Alex, are you a lefty?
I am.
And what do you play?
My entire family's left-handed.
Sorry?
My entire family's left-handed.
Oh, okay. You're a musician, right?
I am. I play guitar and mandolin.
Okay. Did you pick it up lefty and find yourself a teacher and learn to play these instruments with your dominant hand?
I learned to play guitar when I was 12 years old originally, and I picked up a right-handed instrument, and I couldn't do it. You know, it hurt my brain trying to play the other way. I naturally flipped it the other direction and finally got a properly strung left-handed guitar.
You know, you probably know that there are places where you can go that just have whole rooms of kind of left-handed guitars and mandolins and banjos and stuff. But I would imagine when you were 12 that sort of thing was harder to do. So did it shape the way you play?
It does. I play a lot of bluegrass music here in New York, and picking up the mandolin, especially learning guitar, I got to say, I feel as though I'm at an advantage as a lefty, because if you're standing in front of a right-handed person playing a fretted instrument, my hand position, my right hand, is a mirror image of their left, and so I find that I can imitate and learn music scales, patterns on the neck very quickly.
Well, all right. Alex, thanks very much. Let's move on to Erin, who joins us from Pensacola, Florida. Erin, are you left-handed?
I am left-handed, and what's your but I'm a musician. I started playing piano and violin at a young age, picked up a guitar and also played it right-handed, like so many people I've been listening to. But my question is, I'm also a classically trained singer. I'm an opera singer, a musical theater singer. And I'm curious to see if this left-right-handedness is not just an instrumental phenomenon, but if it also carries over into the voice category as far as creativity and that aspect.
So, Erin, are you asking if you're a left-handed singer?
No, I am a left-handed singer. I'm curious if there's a lot of other left-handed singers also.
All right, Stephen, that's an interesting and intriguing question.
It's actually been looked at before. And, I mean, there's long been this notion that left-handers are overrepresented among musicians.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a nice study, I don't remember the details, I know it's cited in my 93 paper, where they compared instrumentalists to singers. And they found that the overabundance of left-handers that you find in instrumental musicians is not found in singers. So I think the link between singing and handedness is too far removed to find any systematic pattern.
Okay. Graham in New York leaves this comment. We've mentioned that 1-2% of the population is left-handed. It's more like 10%. I'd heard that as well. Stephen,
what I was mentioning there is about 10-12% of the population write with their left hand. Again, in our framework, in our work, we think it's also important to look at the degree of handedness, how strongly, and only about 1-2% of the human population are strongly left-handed.
Okay, so those are people who are exclusively lefty.
So most of us lefties are inherently mixed in our handedness.
Okay.
I have a question for Professor Christman.
Go ahead, Pierre.
Which is, from your studies, have you found that the left-handed, the dominant hand, whichever one that might be, is that a mechanical function or an expressive function? In other words, do people communicate better? Is it a tactile quickness that they can do with their dominant hand, or is it the other hand that does that?
Well, generally, when we say handedness, it has to do with the motoric fine motor control. Although it's important, a lot of the genetic models of handedness really argue that the continuum is not from being left-handed to right-handed. It's being the genetic continuum is from being ambidextrous to strongly right-handed. And what you typically find is in most left-handers, they have comparable levels of manual dexterity with their right and left hands, when you look at right-handers, they tend to have the klutzy left hand. So, if you know, in the old days, lots of lefties were forced to become righties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It has some negative consequences, but in essence, a left-hander can learn to use their right hand to do these things.
Let me interrupt you to ask a question that Jesse posted on our website. He says he was naturally a lefty, and you know, anything he taught to do was he was taught righty, and so when he chose to play the guitar, he writes, "I chose to play right-handed because I had previously had trouble playing lefty and learning from right-handed teachers. Did I make a mistake in choosing to go righty and missing out on my own potential?"
And I would say no.
Okay.
Because left-handers, most of us are inherently ambidextrous, it's less critical.
All right. Now, Erin's question about whether her left-handedness might affect her singing, you know, that was kind of an interesting question. I was surprised that there actually have been studies done on that. But, Pierre, what about conducting? You spoke to Donald Runicles, right?
Yeah, he's left-handed, the Scottish conductor. He conducts here in Atlanta frequently as a principal guest conductor of the orchestra, and he actually reseats the orchestra so that his, as he says, his dominant, the bass is in his left hand. So he's got the first violins as normal, but he's got the cellos and the basses on the left side of the stage from the audience's view. So that his, when he holds his baton in his left hand, he's basically putting down that beat to the basses right in front of him and the cellos right in front of him. It's very unusual.
And in your experience, have you seen other conductors holding the baton in their left hand before Runicles?
I haven't seen any major conductors, and that was part of the start of the article for the pianist, is that there seems to be the dominant, the interesting thing is how many really major pianists and the creativity aspect of being left-handed, and along with the mechanical aspects that we're talking about here.
All right, well, here is Donald Runicles, the lefty conductor, with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. Left-handed conductor Donald Runicles leading the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra in the Britten Sinfonia da Requiem. And as Pierre Roux was telling us, when he conducts the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, he moves the cellos and basses to his left-hand side so that he's, as you would at a piano, you have the bass sounds on your left hand. Let's go back to the phones and get perhaps a different take on this from Richard in Yonkers, who I understand has a question about not handedness but footedness. Is that right, Richard?
Yes. My wife was a ballet dancer who is very dominantly left-footed, and all choreographers, whether they're left-handed or right-handed, choreograph for right-handed people. So she spent her career turning and starting out on her weaker foot.
Mm-hmm. All right. Stephen, I know you've studied handedness. How much correlation is there in footedness, if I can coin a word?
Well, that is the term.
That is a term, okay.
Footedness, iridness, and so forth, iadness. The link between handedness and footedness is pretty slippery. It's not really strong. So being right-handed does not ensure you're right-footed and so forth. They're somewhat independent. I think what makes handedness in musicians interesting is that playing a musical instrument requires really fine motor control, and our brains have special networks. Footedness, you don't have a lot of those aspects of fine motor control. I mean, you know, if you're a guitarist, you might be modulating a wah-wah pedal, and if you're a piano player, you're pressing the pedals. But my suspicion is, since those activities are so simple, it doesn't take any extra dexterity or practice or training. But that's an assumption. I think it's a very interesting question, and I'm not aware of any literature on footedness and musicians.
All right, but we do have another lefty president being inaugurated next week. Is there anything to be said about the fact that so many of our recent presidents have been southpaws?
Well, I part of it, one interesting thing, left-handers are just much more variable than right-handers, and it turns out, for example, they're overrepresented at both ends of the IQ spectrum. So if you look at mentally impaired or challenged populations with low IQs below 70, you find an abundance of lefties, but you find the same abundance if you look at gifted populations.
Mm.
Hopefully we are drawing our president from the smarter of the stock, so you wouldn't expect...
All right, Stephen. I think that's a pretty good place to leave it. Stephen Christman is a psychologist at the University of Toledo who has researched the role of handedness, especially in music. And Pierre Roux is classical music critic for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who's recently written an article about the abundance of left-handed pianists at the pinnacle of their profession. Pierre, Stephen, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, live music from the L.A.-based rock band The Airborne Toxic Event, and the inauguration of Barack Obama comes at a time of both hope and crisis. WNYC wants to hear your thoughts on this historic moment. Share your story in a 30-second message at 1-800-543-2543. That's 1-800-543-2543. Or leave a comment on and tune in this weekend for the start of WNYC's complete inauguration coverage on WNYC.org.